reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then the man who was blind went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "Is he?" Others were saying, "No, but it's someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus had made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes. Then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." Others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." They did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight, and they asked him, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that now he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities, who had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been born blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses. But as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone who opened the eyes of a person born blind. man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, you were born entirely in sin, and you're trying to teach us? And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, and who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him. Jesus said to him, you've seen him, and the one speaking with you is he. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Jesus said, I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, surely we are not blind, are we? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now that you say, we see, your sin remains. The Gospel of the Lord. This story, this Gospel story today, is the all-time favorite story in the entire Bible of the dean of my preaching program that I'm enrolled in. And Craig, the dean, says this is his favorite story because Jesus showed how someone who you don't normally think of as a leader is precisely that. This person, this man born blind, this beggar in the corner of in the street of Jerusalem, teaches others about God and about Christ. And rather as being as someone whom we should pity or minister to, the man in today's gospel ministers to and teaches the people of his time as well as us. And that's one of the reasons Craig cherishes the story. Yeah, I forgot to mention that Craig, he's legally blind, and so of course he has a natural affinity for this gospel. He's also an ordained Lutheran minister. Craig is fiercely committed to fostering praying communities where all people are welcomed as equals around Christ's table, because he's found that often we're very good to include ethnicities, different orientations, but we're not fully inclusive of people with physical limitations. Now, we might have handicap ramps, but how often do our churches have Braille hymnals or Braille missalettes? How many churches have people who sign the service? Yeah, there are some, but there aren't as many as there ought to be. And I wonder, because so often we think of the blind people, Craig would say, as somebody we have to help. And here is somebody who is doing the helping, which is one of the jewels of this gospel. I wonder then, who might we see in today's society that we think, Christ probably might not use that person to teach us? Of course, we would say, in our best Dominican self, we would say, well, Christ would, of course, use everyone. But there's probably that little corner of our hearts, a little secret corner that we keep from everybody, maybe even from ourselves, where, we kind of think, maybe not that person. Who might we think? People with mental illness, recovering from addiction, people who are on welfare, or whose skin maybe looks different from our own. Undocumented immigrants, older people, or younger people, non-Christians, or even non-believers, that irritating person in our workplace or in our community. The list could just go on and on. And thankfully, though, Jesus doesn't pay attention to those lists. Jesus looks one step beyond the ordinary, and he sees the extraordinary. Jesus sees the blind man in today's gospel, and he's probably the first one to ever truly see him. Jesus doesn't just see him as a poor, pitiful, blind beggar in raggedy clothes with his tin cup asking for money, maybe a placard saying, "Blind from birth, please help." But he looks one step beyond what others see, beyond the man's blindness, and he sees someone who could teach others about the sparkling splendor of God. In this man, Jesus saw the coulds rather than the can'ts. He saw the possibilities rather than the practicalities. Jesus saw in him the extraordinary rather than the ordinary. In his response to the disciples at the very beginning of this gospel, when they ask him, "Jesus, who sinned? Who's at fault here? Why? What's the reason this man is blind?" Because during that era, illness was attributed as, it was a sin. You did something, you messed up, you were smited. And Jesus responds and says, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but his blindness will serve to reveal all of God's glory." And through that response, Jesus invites them and us to take off their own blinders, so rather than look through the dusty, out of focus, smudged lenses of the day, but to smash those lenses and to expand your horizons and see this man as he truly is, as someone made in the image and likeness of God, and someone who could reveal the glory of God. And so where is it that we need to go one step beyond and remove our blinders? To go that one step beyond and see things the way God sees them. What needs to be changed? Can we see those people on our secret solitary list, those community members, those other people? Can we see them as our equals, or perhaps sometimes even our betters, who reveal God to us? Can we remove our blinders about ourselves and see ourselves as truly, fully made in the image of God, capable of doing God's work, even though, you know, we might be old, we might be infirm, we might be poor, we might be too young, we might be a woman preacher in the Roman Catholic Church, but that God wants to use us. That God wants to use us to reveal something extraordinary about Christ to others. Will we let ourselves be used that way? Will we remove our blinders and see not the can'ts that society or even our own church imposes upon us, but see the coulds, see the possibilities? Can we go one step beyond to see everything around us? The birds that twitter, to the dreadful news we see on TV, our irksome boss or community member, our friends, our families, everything in our world, can we remove our blinders and see them as something that God presents to us continually and continuously to reveal God's glory to us and teach us about God's self? Are we willing to go that one step beyond, go beyond wallowing about our own troubles, our own unemployment, or health problems, or irritations, so that God's glory might be revealed through those, even those issues? how are we going to do this? Well, we can only do it through the grace that we first received at our baptism. And like the man formerly blind in today's gospel, we too have been washed in healing waters. No, not the pools of Siloam, but the waters of our baptism, which have healed us from sin and give us a new vision of faith, of life in Christ. It's interesting that John includes the detail that Siloam means sent. Because like the man washing in the pools of Siloam, we too are sent because we have been baptized. We are sent. And Lent is that time to live up to our baptismal call, when the elect remind us through their yearning for baptism that this is a time when we are called, as we are continually called, to go one step beyond with Jesus and his vision-giving grace, to go one step beyond where we might ordinarily go, and to be that beacon of light and life leading others to Christ.